Hello and welcome to another episode of Inside the Pods, the podcast of the Processes and Growers Research Organisation. I'm Matt Webster and today I'm joined by Emily Scaife. Hi Emily, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
And today's guest is Simon Jackson, Field Technical Manager at Syngenta. Hi Simon, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So just to start off with, I suppose most people will be aware of who Syngenta and what they are, but for those who might not be, could you just give us a quick background as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course, yeah. That's a big question, to be fair, and it could be a lengthy answer. So I'll try and do justice to the answer and also do justice to my colleagues. So I guess the long-term activities of Syngenta really have been providing crop protection products. And seeds and varieties, so seeds and traits, sorry, so things like club root resistance in brassicas and BYDV resistance, a new thing in cereals. So, you know, had a long lot of years of doing those two things. And then more recently, we've started to provide biosolutions, so bioproducts, initially biostimulants, nutrient use efficiency products, and moving on to biocontrols. And that's kind of the focus really is building those things in has gone to kind of more sustainable solutions, integrated approach to grower solutions. So things like, if you think about digital things, Blightcast, hopefully things that people heard of, Blightcast and BYDV Assist. So you can just see there we're building traits and digital solutions together to offer a more complete package. And then I guess the thing that is more kind of moving into for all our companies like Syngenta is soil health. How can we help growers use inputs better? So reduction of inputs and so, et cetera. So quite a big topic, and hopefully I've captured it in a nutshell and not left anybody out.
Now, in your role as a field technical manager, how much are you involved in the actual development of products for the pulse market?
So to be absolutely honest, in reality, the pipeline is focused on the major crops. So a lot of the new products come in through cereals, a lot of work in cereals. Yeah. But what we can do is from activities in other crops like cereals, we can look at things, think, do you know what, that would be quite interesting. I think there's a position there in pulse crops. So, you know, at a relatively early stage, we can say, yeah, let's have a look at that in pulses. Let's see if we can get a project going in pulses. I guess to kind of fit in behind that, before I see it, you know, there's a fantastic research base. Syngenta employs people a lot cleverer than me, and they see things coming through research development, you know, discovery even. They think, oh, see the spectrum of what that product does. Yeah. It would be a really good fit for these diseases in these different crops. So you know, I think at an early stage also, things are looked at. So what I guess where the UK team deliver value is that issues vary by region. So there'll be problems in the UK that maybe aren't seen so much in other parts of the world and maybe in Europe. So it's important that we focus our thoughts on what the UK grower wants. And then this is where our kind of steering of projects comes from.
Now, the pulse market, it is a small market. What challenges are there in developing products for such a small market? And I suppose the other side of that would be, what are the opportunities?
Yeah, hopefully it's no surprise to anybody that the amount of resource we can commit to smaller crops is less than we get to spend towards the major crops. So that's a kind of a first challenge. But it's important to think Syngenta is a global company. So although beans or legumes are a minor crop in the UK, they are elsewhere around the world, they are major crops. So you can kind of look over the hedgerow a little and say, that product's working really well in a legume crop in another area, another region. Yeah. Is there an opportunity for that in the UK? So there are challenges, but there's also, you know, if you look over the fence, you can see things. And I guess what's really important is that we have our minds right on the money when it comes to growers' issues. So we need to really be sure of what the problems are so we can make a strong enough case. So if we see something from somewhere else, we can put it all together and develop a project by using, you know, thoughts from other areas. So that's a bit of a challenge. And I guess that's where our relationship with PGRO and growers is really important, so that we are right on the money for what the growers' current issues are. I guess that's the challenges really. The opportunity is that if we can help growers with minor crops, then we're helping growers potentially through the whole farming system. So, you know, the minor crops are important. As I always say, having a veg background and being always for many years involved in minor crops, we can't live on cereals alone. We need veg, we need pulses, we need. So, you know, I think if we can support minor crops, we in a way support the whole farming system.
I suppose these days, global demand for protein is growing. So, do you foresee the pulse market and pulses in general becoming a more important aspect?
I think it definitely should be. I mean, as you say, they're a great protein source. They're a good source for fiber, which is also low in many people's diet. And of course, they bring along all the other nutrients. If we think outside the kind of benefits to health, there's also a load of benefits to the soil as well. So we've got different root structure in the ground, so we've got the opportunity to split the soil or be in other areas in the soil. We've got that different root exudate, so potentially supporting different microbes in the soil, so hopefully producing a more balanced microbial content in the soil, which will hopefully stop anything like another crop issue dominating. So we've got a more complete system in the soil. And then also it's a fundamental really of agriculture is to have a good rotation. So it's a principle of good farming practice really. So when you think about integrated management of crop pests, having different crops in the rotation allows you to control difficult weeds in those crops potentially. So it's I think pulses really are an important break crop. Obviously the kind of current restriction is they're a bit inconsistent in their yields and returns.
Now, moving on to biostimulants, and we will be talking about two new biostimulant products that Syngenta have brought out in a moment. How important is the development of new biostimulant products?
So I think probably the muck and magic people, for want of a better term, were slightly ahead of their time. And when I think back, even in my time in agronomy and crop production, climate change is a real thing now. You know, in the last 20 years, it's made a big impact on growing crops. And where I see biostimulants fit is they are potentially part of the key to producing consistent crop growth or helping crops grow consistently. And coming from that then becomes more consistent yields and more consistent returns for growers. So I see that biostimulants have the potential to sustain growth through difficult growing times, hopefully fill in some of those troughs maybe caused by heat when the plant shuts down or dry. So we can try and eke out those growing days to make every growing day count. And obviously, the more growing days you have, the more you make of every growing day, the potential for better yield and better return for growers. So I think not they're not a silver bullet, but I think they're part of the key to hopefully producing or making crop production more consistent. We shouldn't forget we're population in the world is growing, so the need for food is ever more, you know, increasing.
As Matt mentioned, there are a couple of products we're quite keen to hear a little bit more about, Vixaran and Nuello. Can you tell us a bit about how they work, what kind of place they have in a rotation, how they should be used? That would be brilliant.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So they're two quite different products, although both of them contain bacteria that take atmospheric nitrogen to fix ammonium in the plant to make it available to the plant. So they're another source of nitrogen for the plant effectively. Nuello IN is a seed treatment. So obviously that has the opportunity to provide the plant with nutrients at quite an early stage. So as soon as the root germinates or the radical pops out of the seed and starts producing roots, you end up with fissures in the root hairs, and then the bacteria colonize through those fissures and start fixing atmospheric nitrogen to produce ammonia for the plant. So you could see at quite an early stage the potential for Nuello-Inn is there. Vixaran is a foliar product, and we tend to time that at kind of when there's enough leaf to intercept the spray up until flowering. So still quite early in the crop's life, but to use Vixaran, we need a crop that's through the ground. They're both an additional nitrogen source for the plant. And I think the benefits we see here are that, again, when the plant is maybe struggling for nutrients, so during times of dry or hot times, etc., there's like a secondary source of nitrogen or another source of nitrogen for the plant. So in legumes, it seems like a really, an interesting fit. The legume plant is already used to having a relationship with a bacteria, so in the case of rhizobium. So you think the systems are already there to support that symbiotic relationship? And I guess in legumes in particular, what would be cases for them? Well, you don't put any nitrogen on legumes, so it's a way to provide nitrogen in another way to the plant. Also, you have pest attack on the nodules, so your atmospheric nitrogen fixing ability from the rhizobium can be reduced. There's also within your soil, potentially through your rotation, the amount of rhizobium in the soil drops. So your soil might not contain enough bacteria to support good rhizobium inoculation of your plant. So it's a really interesting concept. We've had some good initial results, and we're taking it out a bit wider, really.
Obviously, bottom lines are quite tight at the moment, and I think some farmers are looking quite closely at what products they apply throughout a year. What is it about Vixaran and Nuello that sets them apart? What do they do that's different to anything else on the market? I suppose why should farmers make sure that they include them in their rotation?
I think you've kind of hit the point right on the head there, really. So our aim with these products is to try and create more consistent yields and more consistent returns for growers. So to support their crop, so by trying to fill in that potential nutrient gap with another source of nitrogen, can we keep the crop growing? Can we make more beans, more pods, more yield? And then hopefully, over time, growers get more confidence. They've got a more stable return from their legumes. They invest in them, and then they can then see the value of spend. So, what's unique, I guess, is that it's another nitrogen source for the plant, which is there are a few products, but ours have obviously Syngenta. There are specific bacteria, and then what are our aims? Our aims are to try and make legume growing more sustainable.
I wonder if there's a bit of a mindset change on its way as well, because I think in the past, sometimes people growing peas and beans have thought, well, it's an unreliable crop, so I don't want to invest too much in it. But then obviously, if they don't get the yields they want, that could be why, because they haven't treated it like another crop that they're growing and invested accordingly. So hopefully, growers may see that putting forward that initial investment and investing in products such as Vixaran and Nuello will help them get those yields. It's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, I suppose, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I mean, we've done lots of work in cereals, so the work in pulses is kind of in its infancy. We're building the data over years now, and last year we had some really good results in peas, and some results in beans. So yeah, I think as we build the data, we can also build the confidence and take the technical story to growers, and that hopefully they'll have a go.
So, when you're developing products such as these, how closely do you work with farmers and get their kind of opinion on things? And when you're marketing it and spreading it out there and spreading the word, how much do you interact with growers and try and find out what their opinions are and implement those opinions, I suppose?
Yeah, so Syngenta has a team of people out in regions, and I guess one of their aims is to deal with growers, speak to growers, find out what growers' pain points are, to make sure that what we're doing is relevant, actually resonates as a solution to growers. So, initial trials, it's small plot trials. And what tends to happen when you do things in small plot trials, especially biostimulants, is the data can be quite variable. It's quite difficult to prove a statistical difference.
So I understand that you've been conducting some trials with the PGRO. Can you tell us a little bit about those trials and the relationship you have with PGRO as well?
So we've had quite a long history of doing trials with PGRO. From Syngenta's point of view, it's invaluable, really. To have a partner like PGRO to work with, we can go to them with our ideas. We can do the trials work. We can look at the results, and we can talk about the results and why they are valid. We can also, with PGROs, we can get the technical story sorted. So it's really, really valuable to us. We can test what we're saying, and does it actually make sense? Does it resonate with growers? Will it be useful to growers? So that relationship is really strong. We've had, or really important, we've had a lot of years doing trials with them. And I think what we're really looking for is, with things like Nuello and Vixaran, can we see why? What is actually the product delivering? What is it delivering? Is it more pods? Is it more beans? Is it heavier beans? What are the components of yield? Why are we having this effect on the crop? And obviously, to have PGRO looking at trials and looking at all the different aspects of the crop physiology, and even that discussion is really important to us, because we can then make a good story, or we can explain technically why our products do what they do. And deliver what they deliver.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's all of our questions. Is there anything else that you were hoping to get across to our listeners while we've got you?
I suppose what I wanted to do is also just give a little bit of optimism, looking forward in the future for the industry. It's difficult times. We've seen a loss of quite a lot of products, but what I guess. Every company like Syngenta, especially Syngenta, we're looking at solutions. We're looking at how we can create sustainable, registerable solutions for the long term. And that means there's a lot of activity looking at bioproducts, at classical chemistry also. Don't forget, we'll still be looking at classical chemistry, but also a lot of focus on biocontrols. So products that may be slightly easier to register and will have a longevity in them. And just to say, there's a lot of investment and a lot of looking out around the world to find products that will provide solutions for growers for the long term.
Are you going to be at any events over the summer so farmers can come and speak to you face to face?
Yeah, we have Syngenta has open days in specific areas. So yeah, we'll be out and about, and obviously also, as I said, we've got this team of people out in the field. So please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from growers. We love speaking to growers. We want to know what's the chat's about at the minute. And it's really important for us to focus our minds on creating the correct solutions, be they digital, sustainability, or products.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good stuff. Brilliant. So it sounds like there's a lot of good work happening at Syngenta. Thank you very much for coming on, Simon. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much for inviting me along. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you again, Emily.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And that's it for today's episode of Inside the Pod. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to leave 5 stars and subscribe to the podcast on whichever podcast provider you use. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.